Hi, my name is Jenny Murphy Scanlon, and we're going to spend a little bit of time together now so that I can coach you in how to teach yourself to think strategically. Before we get going with that, just a little bit about my background so that you know who it is that's talking to you. You can probably tell from my accent that I'm from the Southern Hemisphere, and I live in a small country called New Zealand. New Zealand is quite close to Australia, and it's in the Pacific Ocean. We have nice, stable weather here, no real extremes, but there's also lots of outdoor activities like snowing, swimming at the beach, tramping, and lots of our population love getting out on the weekends to do that kind of thing. We also have cities, which are small by some standards, but cover all the normal sorts of activities you find in cities around the world. Now, part of me doing this introduction is so that if you're not from this end of the world, you can take a little time to get used to my accent before we get into the real content of the call. A little about me. I originally started my career as an accountant, but quickly decided that wasn't for me. And I moved into learning and development, and then human resources work, and quickly into organisational development. Now, organisational development, or organisation development, as it's sometimes called, is the practice of aligning the culture of an organisation with the achievement of the organisation's vision and strategy. So it's a very strategic function within an organisation. And people that do well in organisation development work or OD work tend to be strategic thinkers. It was identified fairly early on in my career that I was a strategic thinker, but I hadn't thought very much about it until I left the corporate world and I set up my own company. One of my first contracts was coaching some managers in a large government organisation. These managers said to me, "Jenny, if we learn nothing else from you, we really need to learn how to be strategic and how to think strategically." They told me that they were missing out on career opportunities because their boss saw them as operational and not strategic. Now, as a result of that work, I realized there was very little around to really help people to think strategically and to understand what's involved in that, and certainly in terms of coaching yourself to think strategically. So I developed a lot of my own material, and what I'm sharing with you today are ideas and processes that I've used with clients and proven to really, really work. So hopefully by now you've got used to my accent, and we're going to get into the content of coaching yourself to think strategically. You might know of a personal development guru called Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins is often quoted as saying, "The quality of your life is down to the quality of the questions that you are asked, particularly the questions you ask yourself." So those questions that you ask of yourself determine what your brain is going to focus on and try to answer. Our brains are geared to answer questions, and they're certainly geared to answer a particular type of question, which we'll talk about soon. So if our brains are geared to answer questions, if we want to know more about something, it's really important that we ask ourselves questions about that. And what I'm going to share with you this morning is a coaching process to coach yourself to think strategically through the use of questions. Now, really, that's what coaching is. Even if you're coaching someone else, what you're doing is listening to that person and asking pertinent questions at the right time so that they can really think about what they're saying, what they're doing, or what they need to be doing going forward from the coaching session. So, to coach yourself, you're going to really do a very similar thing. What I'm going to cover first is the types of questions that your brain likes to answer and the types of questions we need to ask to coach ourselves to think strategically. These are called open questions. Now, you may have heard of these open and closed questions before, and hopefully you're really au fait with what they are and how they work. But I'll just briefly go over it for those of you who may not be familiar with the concept. A closed question is a question that requires a very brief answer and possibly just yes or no. So a closed question might be, what type of car are you driving? And you would just answer Ford. Now, a what is often an open question, but when a person can give a brief answer, it becomes like a closed question. Another closed question would be, are you feeling happy today? Presumably, you'll just answer yes or no. Now, if you're a chatty sort of person, you may fill in some more details, but you don't have to. The question is just a yes/no question. What color is your lounge suite? Blue. It's a one-word kind of answer that you're being asked for. So those sort of questions are closed. They don't open our brains up. They don't encourage our brains to seek answers or to be creative. Closed questions definitely have a place, and they have a place in all sorts of situations, but not for the process we're using today. Today, we want to think about open questions. Now, open questions are questions that require a longer answer. They generally will start with how, what, why, or what I call pseudo questions. Tell me more about, or maybe explain a little more to me about. When you start a question or a statement with those beginnings, especially when you're asking those of yourself, your brain is opened up to seek answers. So first of all, your brain will search your own knowledge bank and it will look for information that's already stored away that might answer the question. If you don't have enough information stored in your brain already to answer the question, your brain will then be on high alert to find out the answers for you. Now, to give you an example of how our brains focus on things that we focus on, think about the last time you purchased a new vehicle. So I've come back to vehicles again, but the last time you purchased a vehicle, a car or a ute or whatever you drive, you probably went to the car yard and you probably had a look at a range of vehicles, and there would have been a particular brand or make that you may have really liked. Maybe even a particular model. After you'd looked at that model and that brand, you may have found that all around you suddenly noticed people driving that model or make of car. Not only that, when you picked up a newspaper or a magazine, or were online looking for things, you would have suddenly noticed advertisements about that car. You would have noticed articles about it. It's almost like suddenly the whole world is interested in this car, just like you. Of course, that's not the case. That information would have been there anyway. It's probably been there in your environment for some time, but you haven't been aware of it. So what happens on a day-to-day basis is that our brain filters out information it doesn't think we need. So if information doesn't appear relevant or interesting, your brain won't bother highlighting it to you or even storing it necessarily, or not storing it in a way that you can access it easily. So your brain is filtering because if you were to take in absolutely everything in your environment at any given time, you would be on overload and it would be almost impossible to function. So your brain carries out a necessary task for you in doing this filtering and eliminating of things. But what happens when you highlight to your brain that you are now interested in something? Your brain starts to stop filtering, I suppose, that stuff out, and it starts to let it in and alerts you to the fact that it's there even. So if we ask ourselves really good open questions that will help us to think strategically, even if you don't have that information already in your head, your brain will start finding it for you. And that is the absolute key to thinking strategically. So I'm sure you're now sitting there asking yourself what might be these really relevant questions. And that's what we're going to talk about now. The first question I think of is a bit more of a warm-up, and it's a question that you may well ask yourself regularly anyway, and hopefully you do. This question is, what will my life or career or business be like in 3 to 5 years' time? Now, the time frame doesn't matter. You can use any time frame that suits you, and any time frame you want to think about. I often think in a 10-year time frame for myself in my own life and in my business, but in reality, in most organizations, because of the pace of change in some areas, 3 to 5 years is probably realistic to be thinking strategically. So today on this session, I'm going to talk about 3 to 5 years. So what will my life or my career or my business, whatever it is you want to think about, be like in 3 to 5 years' time? It's a really good question to get yourself thinking about how old you will be, how old the people around you will be. What does that mean for you? What do you want for your business? Are you still going to be running your business in 3 to 5 years? Will you still be doing the same things? Will you be in the same role that you're in now in your career? Will you be in a different role? Who will you be working for? So just getting your brain having a little think about what might your life be like in 3 to 5 years' time? Will we still have Facebook and LinkedIn and those kind of social media sites, or will that have evolved? How will we communicate? What will our lifestyles and our homes be like 3 to 5 years' time? So that's the first question. The second question, again, it's an open question, and this question you may not be able to answer immediately. So this question might take a little bit of thinking about. The question is, what's been changing recently? And you can add in my life, career, or business. What's been changing recently? So that's thinking about what technologies have been changing. What's the trend for customers? Are customers expecting something different, more, less than they were expecting before? What about with staff, is it harder or easier lately to get good people? Are there trends amongst your people in terms of what they're expecting from you, skills that they have, how they're behaving in the workplace? Have you noticed any changes there? What about with your suppliers, competitors? What about technology that impacts your industry? Have you noticed anything changing recently? Now, the follow-on question to that is also an open question, and that is, how am I responding? How am I responding to those changes? Perhaps a yes-no question first is, am I responding? So, how am I responding? And then another one, how could I respond? Now, notice I use the word could, not the word should. Often when we talk to ourselves, we use words like should. I should have gone and visited Auntie Mary when she was sick. I should have put the rubbish out earlier this morning. I should have been more attentive to my staff when I spoke to them this morning. I should have done a whole lot of things. The more we tell ourselves we should have done things, the more under duress we start to feel. Should tends to suggest a duty, something we maybe don't want to do, but we feel we have to do. Something that if we don't do it, somehow we're remiss or somehow we're not a good person. So should is a really unhelpful word to use when we're coaching ourselves. We want to stay away from the word should, because when we're thinking about the future and we're thinking about our life and career and business and we're thinking strategically, there's lots of choice. We shouldn't feel that we're under duress to do anything in particular. But we do want to feel that we're able to act and able to respond. So how could I respond to these things that I've noticed changing recently? Using the word could also opens up your creative side of your brain, and we do all have one. If you use the word could, you're not putting barriers in place. You're not saying, I've only got $50 to spend, so what will I manage to do on that? Just what could I do? Let's open it up and think of all the options. After that, of course, you're going to put some reality checks around some of those. You're going to look at what skills you need or have, That's all part of your planning process. But right now, we're just thinking strategically, and we want to not close off possible responses that might be really effective to some of the things in our environment. So we want to ask ourselves, how could I respond? The third question, again, an open question that we want to ask ourselves to coach ourselves to think strategically, is this question: what's likely to impact over the next 3 to 5 years? What's likely to impact over the next 3 to 5 years? Now, this is a question that your brain is unlikely to have all the information stored away. In fact, if you haven't taken an interest in this before, your brain may not have any information stored away for you that really answers this question. What's likely to impact over the next 3 to 5 years? Now, in asking this, what you're wanting to do is think about the things you can't control. So, not the things that you're choosing to do over the next 3 to 5 years, because you control that. When we're thinking strategically, we're wanting to notice the things that we have to respond to because we can't control them. Now, these will be things like actions your competitors might take over the next 3 to 5 years, technology development that might happen that will either impact your own systems and production and processes, or the expectations of your customers, or your staff, or your suppliers, or your owners, legislation, regulations, government issues that might impact over the next 3 to 5 years. For example, in your country, will there be an election in the next 3 to 5 years? Is there likely to be a change of government? And if there is, what impact might that have for your industry and your business? So we're looking at all those things that we can't control that could happen to us over the next 3 to 5 years. If you can't think of anything right now, all that means is that your brain hasn't understood that it needs to be noticing those things. There's lots of clues out there, but there are some ways that you can really help yourself to get better at understanding these things that are going to be happening in the near future. And here's a couple of tips of how to do that. So one of the tips is to make sure that you access information that you wouldn't typically read, notice, or come across in your business. So that might be a case of when you're in a cafe or a doctor's surgery, or the hairdressers, the barber shop, that when you're waiting in the waiting room, you pick up a magazine or in a publication that you wouldn't normally read. Something from a different industry or a different lifestyle that you pick up and read a couple of articles, particularly if you can find any, that are future focused, or talk about new things that are happening in that industry or that area of interest. So read things you wouldn't normally. The same online. Look for news alerts and information that you wouldn't normally think mattered to you, that you wouldn't normally associate with your business or industry. And the follow on from that is thinking about how could that impact you, or how could you use that idea or information in your own industry or business? So always we're wanting to make linkages between the information that our brain identifies and our own business or industry, so that we're starting to see how it could impact or look for ways to use that in our own business to be a step ahead of our competitors, step ahead in our career, be seen as someone who thinks creatively and strategically within our own business or industry. Another way of finding out what could be happening in the next 3 to 5 years is to go where people from other industries go. Now, what I mean by that is you might see an IT expo. Now, that might not be something you normally would attend, but why not? If you go there, you'll find out all about technology that's going to be coming in, that impacts on other industries. IT people actually know a lot about what's coming in the next few years. So if you go to expos of different industries, maybe vaguely related to yours, but not particularly close, you'll find out all sorts of interesting information that will just start opening your brain up to what else is out there. Another way of doing it is to make sure you talk with people from different industries. Now, when you're at networking functions or you're at morning tea and there's someone there from a different division or a different area, actually ask them the sorts of questions you're going to be asking yourself. Ask them, what do you think's been changing recently in your industry? What new things are coming in, do you reckon, with accounting or technology or communications, wherever that person's from, in the next few years? Have you noticed anything different happening within your industry that you think you should be responding to? So ask them those questions and see what they tell you, because they may come up with something that's really pertinent and relevant to you. So to help your brain answer this question, what's likely to impact on me over the next 3 to 5 years, open your brain up to a wider range of information, particularly where that relates to the future. Now, your follow-on question from what's likely to impact over the next 3 to 5 years is this: how could I prepare for that? Again, the word could. How could I prepare for that? Now, often thinking about preparing leads us to scenarios 1, 2, and 3 or more, because the truth is we don't know exactly what's going to happen in the future. But when we look at a 3 to 5 year time frame, we can often take a pretty good guess. We may not know of things that are going to impact that can't be predicted, but there's quite a bit that we can predict from the trends that we know about and from what we can glean of what's already been researched and slowly brought in other areas. So if we can think about how to prepare for these things that will impact, it gets us a step ahead. It stops us being people who have what we can call knee-jerk reactions. In other words, something happens and we have to run around rapidly trying to decide how to respond to it. So rather than having to say, heck, this has happened, how do I respond? Instead, we're saying, this is likely to happen, how can I prepare? So that if that thing does happen, it's not a shock. We've already got some things in place, and maybe that puts you a step ahead of your competitors, gets you closer to meeting your customers' needs as quickly as possible, and lets you be seen as the person who thinks strategically. So if you want to coach yourself to think strategically, and I'm assuming that you do because you're listening to this tape, and congratulations because you've stuck with it and you're almost at the end. So to coach yourself to think strategically, you need to keep asking yourself open questions. Remember, the quality of your life is dependent on the quality of the questions that you ask of yourself. You want to ask open questions like, what will my career or business be like in 3 to 5 years' time? What's been changing recently, and how could I respond to that? What's likely to impact over the next 3 to 5 years, and how could I prepare for that? Keep your brain open to lots of information that might be relevant to your business, and see if you can make the linkages into how it will impact on you. I hope you've enjoyed this session on coaching yourself to think strategically. My name is Jenny Murphy-Scanlon. I'm an expert in strategic thinking, and you can find out more about me on my website, strategiesdirect.com. strategiesdirect.com, Jenny Murphy-Scanlon. Goodbye for now.